Ross.
Everybody get low. Everybody gotta hold on to. Every day we gotta grow. Finding people you can hold on to. Everybody get low. Everybody gotta hold on to. Every day we gotta grow. Finding people you can hold on to. But it's time for a word with Sturge. Let's take all the pain, let's take all the hurt. Let's turn it around till the pain doesn't hurt and the world doesn't worry. We all got some problems, we all in a hurry. And now it's time for a word with Sturge. Ay, and now it's time for a word with Sturge. Ay, I've been hurting too, but I'm flipping the mood. If you deal with depression or just stuck in the blues, we can make it out like we've been stuck in some ways. You can change, elevate where you are. Know it's harder some days, but today you a star. Look in the heart, we all got peace but don't know where to start. Time for some healing, with Sturge it'll start. Look in the heart, look in the mind. Better yourself, you'll be better with time. Don't gotta rush, it's one step at a time. Clearing the mental and freeing the mind, mind. Everybody gotta hold on to. Every day we gotta grow. Finding people you can hold on to. Everybody get low. Everybody gotta hold on to. Every day we gotta grow. Finding people you can hold on to. But it's time for a word with Sturge. Let's take all the pain, let's take all the hurt. Let's turn it around till the pain doesn't hurt and the world doesn't worry. We all got some problems, we all in a hurry. And now it's time for a word with Sturge. Ay, and now it's time for a word with Sturge. Ay.
All right, guys, so welcome to A Word with Sturge podcast. I'm so excited. Thank you guys for coming along with me. I've been putting a lot of work into this. I gotta say, I love that intro music right there. I had a little bit of a hiccup, little adversity we faced on the way to getting that, but I had to do a last minute switch up. The guy Carter, who actually sang the song, produced it, all that, he came in real clutch at the last minute, so I just want to give a shout out to him first and foremost. But the first episode, right, of this podcast, the format's gonna be a little different, I feel like, than the rest of them, because we're just gonna talk about my story a little bit and kind of how we got here from start to finish. And then the other episodes, we're going to talk about some things that, you know, some different topics that we had to work on in order to get here. But this one's going to be a little more raw. Definitely going to be a little more raw. Like, I want to give you guys 100% the real. So we're going to start off with my childhood, right? And my childhood, by all means, in my eyes, like, it wasn't great, right? And this title of this episode is Planting Seeds. So we're definitely going to be talking about planting seeds and kind of, you know, you're always planting seeds, I feel like, in your life and in your children's lives as well, and also in the lives of the people around you. But my life growing up, my grandma raised me for the most part, right? So for the first few years, I lived with both my mother and my grandmother, my brother as well, you know. And once I turned like around 5, maybe, my mom got a boyfriend and she kind of stopped staying with us and she started staying with him. And eventually me and my brother ended up moving in from my grandmother's house over to my mom's boyfriend's house, right? And it kind of stayed that way for a few years. But my grandmother was always consistently in our lives, though. She always kept us in the church. I was in the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night too, right? And I also went to a Christian school growing up from first grade through 12th grade. And so to start off, like, you know, everything was all right as a kid. I felt like I didn't really have too much, I want to say. Once we moved in with my mother and my mom's boyfriend, you know, we didn't have much. My grandmother did have a pretty good job, I gotta say that. My grandmother had a pretty good job, but growing up, I didn't really have too much. And when I started going to the school that I went to in first grade, one of my first memories is, you know, I was one of the only black kids, right? I was one of the only kids of color. And I can just remember feeling like I didn't fit in, right? And I feel like that's kind of where it started. And I just would look around and be like, I don't know, you know, I want to be cool with these other kids too, you know, I want to hang out with them as well. And in second grade, I want to say, that's when I kind of really got close with like my best friend. My best friend, his name was Jake. Shout out to Jake. Had another real close friend at that time too, Nick, who always kind of like, he was always with me in school. That was my guy as well. But Jacob comes into play because being one of the only kids of color at this school, like, and feeling like I didn't fit in, he went out of his way to kind of make me feel accepted. And I remember for a few years, we would always go, me and my brother, we'd go to the after school program at Jake's dad's church, right? Shout out to Jake's father as well. His name was Jonathan too, so great name. But, and he grew up in an area, it was close to the school, but he grew up in an area where it was, you know, predominantly black people. And a lot of the people that went to that church were black as well, even though Jake, you know, Jake was a white guy. So I feel like Jacob was kind of always comfortable with people that were of color just from the start, from the jump, and played a vital part in me kind of getting acclimated to all that, you know what I mean? Dad would always give me rides to and from school whenever we needed it. Like I said, we'd always go to the after school program. He'd have me over to his house. So I feel like that shaped my perspective on race kind of from a young age as well, right? But so going on, you know, the next few years as I got older, definitely experienced, you know, some adversity and also some racism as well. Going to the school I went to, I'm not going to say any names or, you know, even the name of the school or anything like that. And I got to say as well, I'm grateful for the education that I got from that school, right? And I had a lot of great people in my life, a lot of good friends, parents are good friends as well that I got close with and they really cared about me and my teachers as well. Like my teachers definitely always supported me. I wasn't the greatest student. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I wasn't the greatest student. And yet they still always tried to push me to succeed and to do my best, right? But so growing up, I feel like the seeds of depression were kind of planted early on in my life, right? I don't know. It was always kind of a weird vibe. Like my mother and my grandmother, I feel like we're almost kind of pitted against each other. Like my mom, you know, didn't feel the greatest about my grandmother at times. It would say things about her. And my grandmother would say things about my mother as well. And then my father, so my dad, he lived in Philadelphia, still lives in Philadelphia. He's got a family out there now. You know, he's got a beautiful wife. He's got three kids out there in addition to me and my brother here. So he wasn't in my life for the most part growing up. And like I said, it was kind of like always a little bit of my brother, my mother versus my grandmother. And it was kind of like both of them kind of had things to say about my dad. So it was like I was kind of just in the middle, you know, and I don't know, you don't really know how to feel about that growing up. And you hear a lot of things about your dad who's not in the picture. And all you're really hearing is one side of it. But I say that to say this. So seeds were kind of planted early on as far as that went. Like I didn't really have a happy home life. And then as far as like school, like I said, I didn't really feel like I fit in the most. But as I got a little bit older, I just got good at being cool with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like I grew to be cool with everyone. And when I was in about fifth grade, we moved in with my grandfather, right? We stayed at a hotel first for a couple of months after bouncing around for a few years. We stayed at a hotel, then we ended up moving in with my granddad. But I can remember I never really felt love. And I never really had like a father figure in my life, which really affected things as well. I did end up having some father figure in my life, you know, along the way throughout the years, but not a consistent one at home. And I feel like you really need that. And so I don't know, as far as the love thing goes, like I don't remember like ever really giving my mother a hug. You know, I feel like when my grandma would try to when I got older, like it just was kind of like a weird thing for me. Like I wasn't really good with that. I wasn't really good at showing emotions like or anything like that. And I feel like I began to conceal my emotions early on in my life. And I can just remember growing up always being like, man, like I wish I was happy. You know, I can't remember a time when I was truly happy. But throughout all these years, when we get home from school and stuff like that, video games were pretty much always a constant, right? Video games were kind of my release. Loved playing Pokemon, definitely. I played Pokemon all growing up, man. That thing got me through some hard times, I feel like. And I don't know, I just feel like I never really had some of the things that you really need as a child, you know, outlets. I never really talked about things, feel like that were going on. But again, you know, I did have some good friends, but at the same time, like growing up in the school that I did, with the situation being what it was, I definitely experienced some things that I feel like kind of impacted me mentally, you know, like even the friends that I had. I can remember just for one, the school I went to, you know, a lot of them, and not all of them were rich, but you know, a good amount of them were pretty well off. And even the ones that weren't, like they had a much better situation than I did at home. And so I can just remember, like, I don't know, kids would always make black jokes and kids would always make poor jokes sometimes too, right? I can remember one of my most vivid memories was like one of my really good friends who I ended up spending a lot of time with at their house, right? They treated me like family for years. But I spent a lot of time at their house and like this kid called me the N-word one day with a hard ER. And that's, I won't even say it's a unique situation. It was kind of unique coming from somebody so close to me, but I've been called that word, especially in this online, you know, age and playing 2K throughout the years online, other things online as well. Like I've been called that word more times than I can count. So it doesn't do anything to me at this point, but growing up, that's like, it's a traumatic thing for you. And I don't know, I got to high school and all these things going on. Once I got into high school, I feel like I kind of just like shut down. Like I was so depressed at home. I wouldn't show it at school, I don't think. You know, maybe looking back on it, you could pick up the signs, but I want to really show it at school. But like in my home life, like I really was not happy whatsoever. I did not do homework at all. Like I'm telling y'all, like seventh grade to senior year, like I really didn't. I made honor roll every single marking period in elementary school, right? Just because I was smart. And that's another thing too. I wasn't held back. I was always the youngest kid in my class, but I had the opportunity to skip a grade when I started going to that school. I didn't find this out until like a few years ago, but I had the opportunity to skip a grade, and because I was, you know, I was reading at an advanced level and spelling and math at an advanced level and all that. But my mom and my grandma decided to hold me back because they thought that it would, like, I don't know, do something negative to my brother's self-esteem, right? So these are all more seeds being planted. And just to interject there right quick, I feel like with parents or whatever, I would just strongly advise you not to ever hold your child back in anything based off of someone else's feelings and emotions, right? Work through those feelings and emotions with that other person. But I don't know, I feel like you should push your kid to thrive, push your kid to succeed. Maybe that would have impacted me differently and things would have ended up differently. But however, looking back, I'm grateful for everything happening the way it did now with the outlook that I do have on life, right? But so I get into high school, I'm not doing any homework, you know, when I get home, like, I'm just not really feeling anything at all. But the one thing that I did have was basketball. Like, I loved basketball so much. And when I moved in seventh grade, we moved to Nedro, where we ended up living for years there, right? It was very close to my school. My grandma did it on purpose. She sacrificed, she bought a house there. And so we moved to Nedro, and that's where I met, like, my core. Like, I had my core group at school, but that's where I met, like, my day ones. And I still rock with most of them to this day. I don't talk to all of them as much as we used to, you know what I'm saying? But we were out there sun up till sundown, you know what I'm saying? Hanging out, playing video games, hooping. Like, we used to hoop all the time. And shout out to them for getting me through a lot of hard times as well. But yeah, hoops for me ended up becoming a sanctuary. Like, that basketball court was a sanctuary to me. I could go there, I could play. It was so fun. I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of trash at first, you know what I'm saying? When I got a little bit of a late start. So I was a little trash at first, but just by playing with these guys and one of my boys in particular too, shout out to Tank. I feel like playing with Tank all those years is what made me become as good as I got, you know, when I did hit my prime. Like, Tank still got it, you know what I'm saying? Tank's still a hooper to this day. That was something that got me through a lot of hard times. And throughout high school, you know, not doing my work. Sometimes I couldn't play sports because I was on restriction as a result of not doing my work. So, you know, that kind of made me fall into a little bit of a deeper hole. But, like, I can remember, like, suicidal thoughts popping into my head as early as, like, maybe I want to say 7th, 8th grade, maybe even earlier than that. And I kind of suppressed everything. And I can remember growing up, like, whenever I wouldn't get what I wanted, you know what I'm saying? I would just have this feeling inside. And I can't even really describe the feeling, but it was just like this feeling that would not go away, and it was like the worst feeling in the world. Like, I hated it, right? And mind you, I was a great kid at times, you know, out in public. But, like, with my grandmother, because of the position that she was put in, she had to be mom and dad, you know, most of the time. I was very ungrateful towards her, and to touching on that as well. So, like, before we even get there, when we were still living with my grandfather for a couple of years, like, once we moved there, my mom just kind of started leaving the house, right? And she'd go spend a night wherever. And she got in, kind of into the streets and into drugs. And I can remember as, like, a 10-year-old kid, like, not knowing sometimes, like, if my mom was alive. You know what I mean? We wouldn't see her for days. And then sometimes some days turn into weeks. But shout out to my Uncle Aaron. We called him Uncle A. Like, he was one of the main consistents in my life, I feel like, growing up, though. Who kind of tried to keep me and my brother off a bad path. Like, he was the one that... He went to all our basketball games, you know what I'm saying? When we got into this league before we ever played for schools, he would take us to the games. He would always be there to support. Whenever we needed something, you know what I'm saying? Like, he always got it for us. Like, we went with him to see the Lord of the Rings movies. Like, every single one went in theaters. And he just always looked out. And he did that for my whole family, I feel like. My whole immediate family. Like, he was always the guy that always had you, you know what I'm saying? He always got you back. Now, he ended up moving when I was in high school, which definitely hurt a little bit, for sure. His girlfriend and her daughter, and then the son that they had together as well, my little cousin Alonzo. So they all moved, and I feel like I never really talked about it, but that was big too. Like, that definitely crushed me, but, you know, such is life. And I said I did have some good father figures too. One of them being, his name was Elder Wallace Barkins Jr. was a guy that kind of introduced me to, like, Black history early on. He was a pastor at the church that I went to, assistant pastor at the time. But, and I had a lot of good friends at church as well, like, and they would bring me in, and we would go over to their houses on Sundays and things like that too. And so they kind of helped ease the pain that I was going through as a child growing up as well. They might not have known how much at the time, you know, but they definitely did. But back to my grandmother, like, so I was super unappreciative, super ungrateful. I don't know, man, I just was inside, like, I was just not happy with things. And so I feel like, looking back on it, it kind of sucks because my grandmother did, you know, she sacrificed a lot. She definitely sacrificed a lot to make sure that we were taken care of. And I may not have agreed with all her methods, you know what I mean, as far as raising us, but she did the best she could from what she knew. And that's kind of that. But so we're going to fast forward to graduation. We'll skip all that because it was kind of all the same throughout. But fast forward to senior year, right? We're on the basketball team. Another person I want to shout out to, my coach, Dan Sorber, at the time. One of the only consistent father figures that I had in my life. You know what I'm saying? I'd see him on an everyday basis. And like this guy would, he was a yeller, right? He's a little bit of a screamer on the court. And I feel like I got it the most and I got it the worst out of any of the team because like I wasn't always there. Like, I had the ability. But like I didn't have the mental strength and the mental toughness. But he always knew that I could do better, right? He always knew that I could be better. But he always pushed me, always yelled at me. And looking back, like I do appreciate it, you know. I appreciate him believing in me. So we played in the playoffs, right? Senior year. We got to sectionals. And in that first playoff game, I can remember being so upset with some of my teammates because some of them were already checked out, you know. I ain't gonna say no names, but a couple of them were already checked out. And like one of our best players, like he was done. He didn't want to play anymore. He wanted the season to be over. With and we just played so bad like as a team that game, and so a couple of the bench players had to come in, and I actually ended up like I ran PG that game. I was the point guard. I ended up being a big reason that we were in the game. However, we ended up losing that game by 2, and I shot like 4 for 14 from the free throw line. And I just remember I had like girl problems going on at the time. I'm not even gonna get into all that, but I had girl problems going on at the time, so my mind, like mentally, I was just not there. And I shot 4 for 14 from the free throw line. I ended up missing the potential game tying shot at the end of the game, and we ended up losing that game. And I feel like that stuck with me too, man. I loved basketball. Now our season's over, my career is over because of me, essentially, you know, because I didn't have the mental strength to, you know, persevere and get the dub. So I just remember at the end of senior year, like I was so ready. I was done. Senioritis, I already kicked in. I wasn't doing any work. And at the end, like I didn't know what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. And so my boy Drew, shout out to Drew, my boy Drew convinced me. He's like, hey man, you should come and play basketball with me at such and such a school, you know, while you figure out what you want to do. So I did that. I went there. I made some great friends, became the starting point guard, made some great connections. I kind of talked to some of them a little bit to this day, but I ended up, once we went on our break, like, and the school just wasn't for me, but once we went on our break, and part of that too was that we didn't have much money. My grandmother got fired from her job. I can't even remember what grade it was in high school, but she got fired from her job, and then things like really got bad after that, you know what I'm saying? Like then we were really struggling. So when I went to school, like I never had a job at this point, but like I was out there hungry, you know what I'm saying? And I was borrowing money from friends, and I was out there hungry. I feel like that kind of definitely contributes to depression a lot. So when we went on our break for winter break or whatever it was, Christmas break, I just didn't go back to school. So I just kind of sat there at home figuring out what I wanted to do. Ended up getting a job. One of my boy's parents, they ran this company and they ended up giving me a job, right? And I'm appreciative of the opportunity, but like I hated that job. I really hated it. So I worked there for a few months, ended up leaving that. And then after that, I ended up getting another job at a fast food place, right? Worked with some of my boys, so that part was cool, but that was not for me either. So then after this, and this is where it kind of bridges the gap a little bit into what I do today. After this, I went and I got a job at a Target and I excelled there, right? I did extremely well and I ended up cross training and moving into the Starbucks at this Target. And it was at this Starbucks that I ended up one night serving a guy. And this is like 10 years ago at this point, but I can still remember to this day. I served a guy, his name was Anthony. And he was a manager at a very successful restaurant that had just opened up that year in the area. And he came in one night. He orders an ice mocha, grande ice mocha, and a chocolate chip cookie for his kid. He forgets his wallet, said it's in the car, but he came back a while later. So it must not have been in the car. He must have forgot it at home or whatever. So he comes back and I'm like, hey, man, you want me to get you a new one? Long story short, he's like, no, but do you work here full time? You should come work for me at this restaurant. So I'm like, all right, bet. And so I did. That's how I got into the restaurant industry, right? Which would go on to essentially change my life. Now, at this time, like I had like self-esteem issues based off of everything that I've told you guys so far. I just never really felt like I fit in anywhere. Right. And so my white friends at school, you know, would make fun of me for when I would talk, quote unquote, black. Right. And so I feel like I kind of cut some of that out early on just because I was so concerned about what others felt about me and how others viewed me. But then it was like when I would hang out with my boys, right? My boys who were black, they'd say I talked white. So it's like, you know, I didn't feel like I belonged really anywhere.
What?
Going into this stage, I start working at this restaurant and I start kind of coming into a little bit of who I really was. I'm still dealing with depression and all that stuff. And people can't tell because at work, I'm the happiest guy in the world. I love this job. I'm making good money as a busser. You know what I'm saying? I was making great money, I feel like, for a busser. I worked super hard and I ended up becoming a server. And so after that, and I want to say it was before I became a server that it happened. My grandmother passed away in 2015. She passed away. I found her, like, and I was living alone with her at the time, but like I found her. She had wanted to talk for a while and she had cancer, is what happened. So she wanted to talk to me for a while and I just couldn't bring myself to do it because she had already beat cancer before. And I felt like me having that conversation with her would kind of confirm that, you know, she wasn't going to be here for much longer. And so we just had so much unresolved stuff, I feel like, that we never talked about. I'm not too sure what the conversation was that she wanted to have with me, but I just remember when I found her, like, it just was like one of the worst days of my life. And I shut down. I went to work that night kind of like nothing happened, you know. I suppressed everything, and then after that, like, I just kind of started suppressing every memory of her. But to deal with the emotions that I never spoke about, I started working out a lot. Right. And I was in the best shape of my life. Like, I was, I ain't gonna front, I was ripped. You know what I'm saying? I was jacked because all I would do day in and day out when I wasn't at work was work out. So then she passes away. I start working out. Then, like, I start really, like, the ladies were really attracted to me. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Ladies began to be attracted to me, which kind of became a bad thing because I worked at that restaurant for like 7 years, did a lot of dumb messing around, you know what I'm saying? And made a lot of mistakes. You know, I learned from those mistakes. But throughout those years, I had so many different, like, depressed episodes, and I ended up leaving the job for like a few weeks at one time, and then I ended up leaving for like 6 months or something like that, something crazy like that. Just stopped going to work, got behind on everything. At this point, like, I'm really suicidal, like, I didn't really care about anything. But I want to shout out to my managers now that, like, so I'm a manager, you know, that's what I do now. I'm a restaurant manager. But I really want to shout out to my managers because even though, like, I don't know, I felt like I was an amazing employee, so I felt like that gave me some pull and I could kind of do whatever I want, you know, and be all emotional and have these outbursts and periods where I'm not working. I feel like I could do whatever I want, and I was untouchable because of how great an employee I was. And now, being a manager, I really understand, like, the patience that they had with me. I know that I was probably a headache for a lot of them, but they all stuck with me and they even let me come back when I was ready. And I want to shout out to my ex, right? Before me and my ex ever dated, and she worked at that restaurant that I was at as well. But before we ever dated, when I was out for like 6 months, she sent me these videos, right? These videos by Tom Bilyeu called Impact Theory. And they kind of started to get the wheels in my brain turning a little bit and open up my mind to different possibilities. And I feel like I was just grateful that she believed in me, even through the things that were going on. And so a couple years later, you know, we started to date and we ended up getting an apartment together, dated for about a year, and it was just toxic. Like, it was not great. I was not great with my emotions. I'm not going to speak ill of her at all, you know, but it just wasn't good. We weren't good together, and she had a son. And so the things that we had going on caused me to also not be a good stepfather figure, I guess, for her son. So, like, it just was kind of bad all around. And so my depression got the worst at the end of that year, relationship together, right? We broke up and it was just really bad. Like, I was in a really low place. I was suicidal at this point. And so I'm going to make a confession and an admission that, like, a lot of people do not know, but I tried heroin. I did it twice during this period, and I thank God that that was all I did, right? But I tried that because I just didn't care about anything. And after that, I start kind of ranting on social media about my ex, you know what I'm saying? And essentially, I lost her. I didn't want to go back to the job because of where my head was, like, and I felt like people were going to be talking about me, and I just couldn't go back there working with her. So I lost my ex. I lost, you know, the best job I ever had, making the most money I ever made, the nicest apartment that I had ever lived in. I lost all these things at once. And I don't even know. It's kind of crazy. Like, that was kind of essentially what caused things to click, right? So I'm venting on social media, though, one day. And one of my boys, shout out to JJ. Boy, JJ hits me up. We hadn't talked in like a hot minute. We hadn't talked in so long, but he hits me up because he sees me venting on social media. He's like, yo, you good? And so we start talking in the messenger and everything. And And long story short, I ended up moving in with him, right? I'm broke at this time because I had stopped working. I was just in a terrible place, but he let me move in with him. And I went from like this toxic environment, right, to an environment with him where all he really did at the time was work out and read. And it was just the best situation I feel like that I could have gone into, right? And when all this was going on with the breakup and everything, I had started to really like start reading positive things and just consuming positive content, right? And this is what kind of started my journey to getting to where I am today. I mean, it all contributed, you know, the seeds were planted all along in my life, bad and good, but this is what kind of started to help me get my mental right. Like I started to envision that this wasn't it, right? You can either sit here and you can wallow and be depressed and suicidal for the rest of your life, or you can take control of your life, right? And I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I started to feel like I could really do it. And I started to believe in the power of manifestation. And so I move in with him, you know, I started to read, I kept consuming all this positive content, and essentially all of this stuff that was going on, right? It was neuroplasticity, which is, like I said, we're going to talk about this a lot in some of these episodes to come, but neuroplasticity essentially is rewiring your brain, right? Ever since you're a child and these seeds are being planted, like your brain is being impressioned, right? And imprinted, whether it's through learning, stress, traumatic experiences, whatever. But neuroplasticity is the rewiring of the brain. And so I didn't know what that was at the time, but that's what was going on. And so I ended up getting a job. First job I ended up getting after this, man, I was a furniture salesman and I sucked. Like I was not good. I didn't take the time to you know, study. We had a lot of furniture. I didn't take the time to learn the furniture. I just didn't really put in the work to get good at it. And I feel like I'd be good off the bat just because of my server experience, like, because I was amazing at but it just didn't translate. And so I ended up getting fired from that job. But I was working two jobs at the time as well, which didn't help as far as the learning process. But I ended up getting fired from that job. I had left the other one. And so then I get a job. As a server at a different restaurant, right? A Mexican restaurant. However, at that time, I had kind of come to the realization I've been in the industry for like 7 years, right? And I had some innate, even with all this stuff going on in my life, the negative stuff, like I had some innate qualities I felt like being a leader. And so I'm thinking in my mind, like, part of what I enjoyed about serving at restaurants was that, like, I really thoroughly enjoyed, like, making people's days brighter, right? You don't know what's going on in their lives, but just the act of giving somebody great service, you know, combined with great food, like, that can take your worst night and turn it into a good one. And so I thoroughly enjoyed that aspect of it. And I thought, if I enjoy this, right, and I have so much range affecting people's days and people's lives, essentially, as a server, like, why not be a manager? And I don't want to be a manager, but I wanted to be a leader. But so I kind of set out in my head, all right, this is what I'm gonna do. And I got the job at the Mexican restaurant, but at that time I had also applied to be a restaurant supervisor, right? And I didn't hear back from them until after I started at this Mexican restaurant. But I did let them know, hey, this is great, but if something comes up as far as management at a different place, like, I'm gonna jump at that opportunity. All right, cool. And so I end up getting that, started a few months after I was supposed to because of some things that happened, but I end up getting that job as a restaurant supervisor. And that was the roughest, toughest year professionally in my life, right? I ended up, basically, my boss got fired 2 weeks after I started. So I kind of had to run the front and the back of the house almost for a while with another assistant manager as well. But most of the nights that I worked, you know, that's what I had to do. And then we ended up getting a general manager. But like, I don't know, I was the closing manager. I'm there till 1, 2, sometimes 3 in the morning on some nights. Like, and I'm closing the line a lot as well. As, you know, combined with being a manager, I was cooking as well and closing the line on a lot of nights. But that night, it got really stressful for me throughout that tenure. And I did well. Like, I ended up winning like leader of the quarter for the entire hotel that restaurant was in. I won leader of the quarter a few months in. I ended up being named as one of the first 2 cultural base coaches for the entire hotel. But along with those accolades, like, I made a ton of mistakes. I made so many mistakes and I really let my emotions dictate, you know, the decisions that I made a lot of those times, you know, and a lot of those shifts there. But after about a year of being there, like, I really was not happy there at all. You know, I wasn't happy working the long hours, the late nights. I just wasn't happy in general there. And I had gotten to a point where I'm drinking like a bottle of wine a night. Like, that's how bad the stress got for me, right? But however, about a month after being there, right, I met this guy. Awesome guy. Shout out to Dan. I met him one night because he came in and he had ordered some food apparently earlier that night. It was on a weekend. It's like maybe midnight when I meet him, between midnight, 1 o'clock. And he comes up, says he never got the food. You know, his kids were hungry upstairs. So I ended up telling him, like, yo, like, I don't mind. I'll go make the food for you. I got you. So ended up giving him the food for his kids. He gives me his number and he wanted me to come work for him. And so I ended up going to, you know, interview with him and basically meet the other managers. And at that time, I only had a month experience as a supervisor. So like, I really was not confident in that. And it kind of didn't go great. And actually, he kind of ghosted me. I ain't gonna lie. He did ghost me. But that's all right, though. Everything happens for a reason. And so I stayed there for about another 11 months after that. And I end up finally hitting him up when I was really fed up with where I was. And I'm like, hey, do you need a manager still? He tells me no. He says, we need a cook. So I'm like, all right, I appreciate the offer, but like, I don't really want to go forward. I want to progress with my career. I don't really want to take a step backwards, and I want to stay in the front of the house. You know what I mean? He says, no problem. I'll come see you at that restaurant. All right, cool, Dan. He hits me up, no lie, about a day later, asks me when I'm free to meet. And something had happened at that restaurant, and I didn't really have a floor manager at the time. So something happened. We end up meeting. I get the job. Like, cool. I'm ecstatic. So I start working for him. Start working for Dan. And honestly, like, I fell in love with it immediately, you know, and the money was great. You know what I'm saying? The environment was great. A little bit of a learning curve because I hadn't worked in that specific type of restaurant ever before, but I kind of fell in love with it, you know, and I fell in love with my staff as well. So here we are. This is kind of the present that I fast forwarded to. But now I'm really enjoying everything. I'm enjoying my life. And I made a pact to myself that, like, no matter what, even before all this happened, I was going to have a positive outlook, you know, on life. And I've had a positive outlook, I feel like, for a while. I don't care what happens. Like, I'm going to continue to every single day when I wake up, like, I'm going to choose to be happy no matter what I go through. Knowing that I've been through some darkness, I've been through some absolute hell, I feel like, makes it all the more easy. You know what I mean? I posted something last night on my social media, and I said, like, I'm really starting to fall in love with adversity. And I really am, because I feel like even when adversity does come up, you know what I'm saying? I really embrace the challenge. You know, I know that it's going to help me grow. And that's where my mindset is. And that's kind of where, you know, those of you that are listening that do need this message, that's where I kind of want to get your mindset too, you know, as we progress through this journey. But I'm just really looking forward to growing in every aspect of my life. Like, that's the main focal point for me right now. I just want to grow. And it helps me, you know, with most of the people that I do manage, like, they're kids. They're like 16 to 21. So it's a lot different than my last job where I was managing. You know, most people were older than me, but these guys are like 16 to 21, and they've helped teach me so much patience, right? They've helped teach me so much patience, because I realized that, first of all, they're young, you know, they're still learning, but creating an environment, right, whether it's at the job or in your life or whatever, where creating a safe environment where you can make mistakes, right, is kind of essential to growth, because you gotta make mistakes to learn. You know, you don't learn a lot when you win. You learn a ton when you make mistakes, though, right? Everything, I feel like, in this life that's not a quote-unquote win or a W, like, it's not a loss either. It's a lesson. So I took up way more time with this podcast, I feel like, this first episode than I really wanted to. And maybe it would have gone a little bit different had I, like, you know, done some notes and all that. But like I said, I wanted this first one to be kind of a raw, just like starting point to where we are now. Little view of kind of what we got going on. And then I want to get into, over the coming episodes, kind of some of the things in detail that helped me get my mindset to where it is today, right? So I really appreciate y'all for listening. We'll be back shortly. I'm going to start doing these podcasts. We're going to have episodes airing every Monday, with the intent that, I know Monday can be, you know, the toughest day of the week for a lot of people. It's the first day you go back to work. It can be a challenge. So I want to air these episodes every Monday. But I really appreciate y'all coming out and, you know, not coming out, but listening, you know, tuning in. I hope that I gave you a little bit of insight into my life, you know, and, you know, I'm looking forward to just kind of going on this journey with you guys and showing you a little bit more about my life, and also teaching you maybe some things that you could pick up and you could learn from it too. Appreciate y'all for listening.